The Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
What better way to handle the final hour than to bring in my guest, Monica Bendott, who does a tremendous job with the Knicks on MSG, and of course right here on 98.7 ESPN. She does, and here's the thing I like about her. She does a great job in chronicling where she goes and travels. You see her little pictures on X and Twitter with her and her broadcast partner, whoever it is. And listen, you've seen on all the ESPN platforms with her knowledge and versatility. And I just thought today would be a great day to have her to try to calm down the Knicks fans. But also, I want to get her thoughts on this women's tournament the championship that's going to come up in an hour that's going to be on ABC. So I think it's the perfect opportunity to talk a tournament update driven by Nissan with Monica McNutt here on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Monica, how are you?
What's up, Larry? And thank you for that lovely intro, my friend. Let's chat.
You've earned every bit of it. So today at 3 p.m. on ABC, the women's tournament wraps up with Caitlin Clark and Iowa facing off against Dawn Staley's undefeated South Carolina team. Before you break this down for me, Monica, let me take a step back. Monica, I'm watching the UConn game. I'm watching people pushing off during the game to gain an advantage going to the basket. I'm watching not a whole lot of fouls called. And then late in the game, I see a moving pick violation, and I screamed at the TV, "Are you serious right now?" Was I wrong?
Listen, Larry, I think you are most of us that consume sport. We were in the Chicago press room, actually, a gathering of media folks watching the end of the game after the Knicks contest. And the game, there's no sound playing. So I see the stoppage in play, and I was like, what happened? What happened? And then we all deduced that it was a moving screen violation, and of course, from all the replays. And I was like, yo, are you serious? In that moment? Really? Egregious. Absolutely egregious. And then, you know, we do the sports thing where you watch everything in slow motion, and it looks crazy. But it is, you cannot make that call in that moment of the game. I don't care who the teams are. There's no way. There's no way on the national championship stage. And for me, frankly, Larry, it's super frustrating. Because in my mind, that's the second time in two big-time years as far as viewership and eyeballs that the semifinal matchup has been marred by poor officiating.
All right, Monica, what do you think about this game today? I mean, right. Caitlin Clark and Dawn Staley's done. First of all, can we just talk about how great Dawn Staley has been from recruiting to coaching to gaining talent to handling what she's done in South Carolina? It's been just awesome.
Absolutely. To lose all five of her starters last year, that freshers unit that was so highly touted and so successful at South Carolina, and then to be here, to run it back. And I was not in women's college basketball as heavily as I have been in previous years with my new role with the Knicks. But I do remember at the beginning of the season, kind of like, South Carolina should be solid, but I don't know if they're going to run the table again. I don't know if they're going to get back. And here they are. And so that is a testament to Dawn Staley preparing her players. The transfer portal, she got players that fit. Camilla Cardoso, Raven Johnson, Bree Hall, all players that were part of that run last year, now are a year wiser with tremendous experience. Tahina Pau-Pau out of Oregon. The transfer has stepped up in a big-time way, living what many have deemed to be a transfer student's dream in terms of now competing for a NCAA championship. She's got a great freshman in Tessa Johnson. Ashlyn Watkins has been terrific. So, yeah, all around, it's funny, Larry, because in a way, South Carolina has become like a backdrop story of this Final Four with all of the other star power and the rivalry, when really a team that has been able to run the table and is looking to compete in undefeated season should be a headliner.
Can Dawn Staley take some notes away from what Gino Auriemma and UConn was able to do to defend Caitlin Clark in the first half of their game?
I think if you can force Iowa into turnovers, there's obviously that, right? And I believe they had 12 turnovers in that first half, so yes. But I don't know if that's a Gino Auriemma note versus anybody that hangs their hat on the defensive end. Like, turning folks over, getting defensive rebounds is something that you seek to do. And South Carolina, the best rebounding unit in the country, or they may be second behind LSU. But either way, they're top three for sure. And so I think it's going to be a matter of this team, frankly, for me, excising demons of last year, right? Like, Iowa dared them to shoot last year in their upset victory. Raven Johnson vividly remembers that and talks about how it powered her this particular offseason. Fahina Power Hour, you cannot dare her to shoot because she's a shooter. And then they got to be deliberate and take care of the basketball and find Camilla Cardoso. Nobody has a 6'7 big that is as mobile and agile as Camilla Cardoso.
I guess this is where we talk about Caitlin Clark, right, Monica? She's had a tremendous tournament. And, you know, a lot of conversation about her. Is she the greatest? Does she need a title? Does she not need a title? What happens with her? But for right now, she's trying to get her Iowa team the best going away present she can have, right? A championship, and then she'll continue her career in the WNBA.
Absolutely. And I think experience, you know, for her and this group, frankly, although Monica Sozzano is no longer a part of it, like, they've been there. And Lisa Bluter, to me, is a terrific coach, and we're starting to see her get the praise that she deserves in terms of her ability to make adjustments on behalf of her team. For them to have won that ball game and Caitlin Clark have had one of her more mediocre stat lines versus UConn, I think speaks to the rest of those young women being able and ready to step up. Kate Martin, I believe, huge 9 points in the fourth quarter. Hannah Salke, over 20 points in that ball game. She had a monster game for the Iowa Hawkeyes. So as much as this thing is about Caitlin, it's also about the rest of that team holding defenses accountable.
Mm. And, of course, we would be remiss for the men. Last night, their final four results of Purdue beats NC State 63-50. UConn defeated Alabama 86-72. Purdue and UConn now will meet in the title game tomorrow night at 9:20. And I know you've just been perusing it from the outside, Monica. I know you're not really in-depth in it, but the way UConn has been, I find it hard for anybody beating them. They just look good.
So, look, it's funny you said that, Larry. They do look really good, right? And I had a chance to take in the second half of that game last night. But we were asked, I guess that must have been going into the Sweet 16 weekend, UConn or the field. And I was just like, they're great. They're the favorites. But, like, the field, right? Like, you got to go to the field. Uh-huh. And apparently you don't have to go to the field because they have been playing that level of high basketball. My personal philosophy is it's just really hard to defend titles, right? And so that was the reason for me that I took Iowa over LSU on the women's side because LSU is the team that's defending. And I just think there's a different level of focus about Iowa trying to get back to where they were last year. But UConn seems to be proving me wrong a bit. Now, I don't know if Purdue wants to be like Virginia, how badly they want to be like Virginia, the team that was bounced as a 116 and then came back and won it all and was such a beautiful story in college basketball. I'm sure that Matt Painter and Edie and those guys will be well prepared. But UConn just has a poise and a depth that I just think – don't know if Purdue quite can account for. So we'll see.
And here's one thing we'll know. You're not wrong. You should have picked the field. And here's the other thing we know. With all the way this transfer portal is going, I don't know if we're going to have defending champions, Monica. I don't know if we're going to have back to multi-time champions now.
You know, so I think that can work either way because of the transfer portal, right? Like, I think some graduate student at a mid-major or even somebody else unhappy at another major might look and say, well, Dan Hurley did it twice. Like, if you keep giving him the pieces, can he do it again? Right? So, I don't know. I think the transfer portal is a neutral in this conversation because I think it can work both ways.
All right, that was the tournament update driven by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full lineup to put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com today. Thank you, Monica. Great job. So now, let's talk
Thanks,
some Larry. Knicks. Knicks, Monica.
Monica. Yeah, let's talk Knicks.
Monica, you got to talk us off the ledge, Monica. We're concerned. Here's what we're concerned about. As Knicks fans, we're concerned now because the team is getting behind early, and that's not something they've been doing previously. And so fans want to say, oh, see, here we go. Tibbs playing guys until they're playing them 50 minutes, they're playing them an hour, they're playing them 4 hours and whatnot. But the bottom line is, part A, who does he have to play? He's got to play because of injuries. And part
there
B, is this just a situation, Monica, where, you know, at this time, teams who aren't even in the postseason love to rob you, and they get up. If we're not going, you're not going. Or, listen, we're in the play-in, as Chicago is. We're trying to stay in this play-in. We're not just going to lay over and roll down for you rolling in our building.
So, okay, so let's be realists, right? Like, I'm not going to be the overly optimistic homer today, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do understand the concern, right? And I'm not going to tell you to walk all the way back off the edge of that ledge. I'm going to tell you to walk back some, but it's okay to be looking over the ledge. I think we have to remember, to your point, Larry, this time of year is incredibly challenging. And let's take each of the Knicks' losses in a vacuum, right? Chicago had not played since Monday. The Knicks were on the second game of a back-to-back, and Josh Hart got ejected with 34 seconds ago in the first quarter. And still, that was a ball game, right?
Uh-huh.
And so, yes. But to me, if I may offer up a little bit of a scheduled loss, if ever there is one, that was one, as Chicago is vying for position in that play-in tournament. Then you get the Sacramento win, which was a great win, right? Uh-huh. And then you go back before that. OKC is a hell of a team. San Antonio, I'll give you overtime, frenetics, craziness. That one probably makes you turn your nose up the most. I mean, I think I'm missing one in there. But all things considered, like, you're still in a good spot. And frankly, really, like, we were having this conversation last night, Pat O'Keefe and I don't think the team is going to slide all the way to six. But if it were to be a 6-3 matchup with Cleveland, the Knicks have frankly outplayed Cleveland in every matchup to date. And so that does not scare me. That doesn't scare me. So I think you started the question off with the way that you have to answer it if you're concerned about the minutes played. Who do you want to be on the floor? There's just not a plethora of options right now as the Knicks are navigating injuries and guys coming back. Now, I would say silver lining, I thought OG Anunoby looked like he found rhythm in Chicago in that second half, and that's a good sign, and that is encouraging. But you got to play the cards that you've been dealt and roll with the players that you have available.
Monica, I'm going to ask you to put on your get your crystal ball out, and I want you to look down the road for me. And we were having this conversation before you joined us about what is this rotation going to look like playoff wise. Because you're looking at, all right, you figure right now you figure it's DiVincenzo and Brunson, Hart, OG, and Hartenstein. Okay, you figure that's your five. Okay, so now coming off the bench, that gives you McBride, Bogdanovich, it gives you Mitch, and it gives you Achiuwa. I don't see Alec Burks in that. I don't see, and so how does Tibbs roll with that? You know, with that rotation, because you know how he loves defense, and Bogdanovich, you know, if he's not scoring, he's not playing. So, you know, how do you think that rolls?
My crystal ball says that that's going to roll more on a game-by-game basis than maybe we've seen from Tibbs in past years.
Hmm.
I think it's going to be matchup and availability-driven. And again, in a way that is just going to force Tibbs to have to adapt just a bit. The other part of that crystal ball, which I think every Knicks fan probably knows, is that means more starter minutes probably and even tighter rotation if that second unit can't guard and he's not willing to switch it up a little bit in terms of going nine deep instead of eight. Got so much of this, though, and that's what I'm saying. We got to keep playing the games and play the cards that are dealt in front of you because it is all very contingent. And Tibbs, at this point in the season, he's been very candid in press conferences and stuff in terms of the chess game of it all, right? Like, he's like, sometimes I don't want to play a guy, but if a guy's assignment is to guard another guy and the guy he's guarding is playing, like, I got to go with him, right? And so I think there's got to be a little bit more of a wait-and-see approach. I think you should be encouraged by the consistency that you've seen from Jalen Brunson all season long, encouraged by OG Anunoby finding a little bit of a rhythm, encouraged by Bogdanovich offering you, I believe, close to 11 points per game in, like, the last three games off the bench. And frankly, if OG's back and that allows Deuce to be that punch as well, you want to be encouraged by that. So I'm choosing to look at this thing glass full. But there's just unknowns, y'all. And so much of this, too, Larry, we can't really ask that place until we know who they're going to be in the first round, because that's a completely different conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, because size matters.
100%. Like, if they, you know what I'm saying, they run into a matchup versus the Magic looks different than a matchup versus Cleveland. I don't have standings in front of me, but anybody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's the voice of Monica McNutt. You know the voice. You're here on MSG. You're here on 98.7 ESPN. You watch her on ESPN, and she's on the Larry Hardesty Show here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, Monica, a couple more. I'm going to ask you now. Now you can put your crystal ball away. I'm going to ask you to remember your playing days, okay?
Let's do it.
Deuce McBride has been phenomenal since the All-Star break, okay? There's no no argument there. He took the role of people saying we needed to bring somebody in to run the offense. He took it personally. He upped his game. We knew what he could do defensively, offensively. He's been unbelievable. Monica, can you ride that into a postseason where teams are better, teams are going to challenge you more defensively? Can you ride that momentum and that confidence that you've built so far into the postseason, knowing that you're going to have less minutes and you were starting when you got those performances, Monica? Now you're back on the bench.
Look, what choice do you have, Larry? Like, not to, I know that's a faux pas to answer a question with a question, but what choice do you have? Mm-hmm. Deuce McBride is continuing to play for the longevity of his overall career. Whether somebody around the league has been eyeballing him as a starter for the New York Knicks, or they see him being able to be the ultimate professional and still be productive in less minutes. What choice do you have? You're trying to contribute to winning right now. You don't have a choice. So I think having had the opportunity to have conversations with Deuce, I met his parents yesterday in Chicago, his dad, Walt, and his mom, great family. He is always willing to do the work. And I think more than anything, fans should appreciate a guy that is able to still be productive when their opportunity is yo-yoed. You know, there was a Deuce before he became a starter that was productive. That allowed this team to have enough confidence to make him a starter. And so, yeah, maybe it's not ideal. But in the grand scheme of things, if these guys had a chance to get to the Eastern Conference Finals or Finals, I really don't think Deuce would be like, start me versus our chances. That's not how he is.
What's the pressure like on OG now with no Randle coming back? What's the pressure like for OG Anunoby to be available with no Randle in the picture for this team going into postseason?
Okay, but your boy is going into could be a free agent, I believe, or something. So, yeah, there's double pressure. There's the promise of January that we all saw and enjoyed and were tantalized by. And then, frankly, there is a cloud around OG in terms of his availability. Now, folks that have coached him, like Nick Nurse, is very defensive about his availability because it's not like it's the same injury that nags him. He just kind of is one of those guys that has unfortunate bounces when it comes to his health. And it's not always, when you think of it, about basketball injuries. I think one of his years with the Raptors, he had like an appendix thing or something. So, yeah, but pressure makes diamonds or pressure bursts pipes. And I think OG would like to describe himself as a diamond. So get out there and give it everything you got. Let's go.
Last one, Monica. Give me a preview for tonight. Knicks-Miami. I'm Knicks-Milwaukee. I'm sorry.
I was about to say, man, I wish we were going back to Miami. I mean, only for the weather, not for the team.
I understand.
So the Bucks have given up 186 points in their last three games in the paint. 186 paint points. That is tied for second over that span with the Atlanta Hawks and behind the Detroit Pistons. Mind you, the Pistons and the Hawks have both played four games where Milwaukee has only played three. You add that to the fact that Jalen Brunson has been shooting 60% from two versus the Hawks. I like the little floater that Isaiah Hartenstein has started to show more consistently. We just talked about Bogdanović being able to get in the paint off the bench. I like the Knicks' opportunity tonight in terms of attacking a weakness of the Bucks that is glaring as of recently. Not to mention the last time I looked, Giannis is still listed as questionable. So I think if the Knicks can score in the paint with confidence, that'll open up their three ball. Now, I do think that in these three losses, only one of those games, the Bucks have shot better than outside of the 20% range from three. And so if they find their way from the three-point line, I think they'll look more like the team that's sitting in second place in the Eastern Conference. But right now, I'm keyed in on the opportunities in the paint for the Knicks in this particular matchup.
Now, you doing the game tonight?
I am doing the game tonight.
All right. And who are you working with?
Pat O'Keefe and I.
All right. So you can hear it right here on 98.7 ESPN. Monica McNutt and Pat O'Keefe, they'll have the call of the Knicks and Milwaukee Bucks. She's not going to call it. She's leaning Knicks from what the stats she gave. And she's kind of leaning Knicks. But we'll see what happens. This will be a nice one. Monica, this will be a nice one for them to get. Because
they
one of the things...
They need to get it.
One of the things that's really been intriguing about this team, which is the other thing that kind of makes you like, what's going on, is they've all season they've beaten teams that they were better than, and they've held their own against teams that are with them and a little above. And so it would be a nice way to end the season that way going into the postseason.
Absolutely. I mean, this will help the Knicks put together, what, two wins in their last three, and obviously we know about the three-game slide. But there's urgency on the end of the Bucks as well, and I just think they need to be prepared for the Bucks trying to right the ship as well.
Keep up the great work. We'll be listening. Have a good game tonight. Thanks for a couple of minutes.
Thanks, Larry. Have a great rest of the show.
Thank you. You too. Monica McNutt here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, we'll give you some thoughts on what she had to say. We'll continue our conversation next on 98.7 ESPN.
The Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
So, you know, my ex / Twitter nephew, Jay Blaze NYC, hit me up on X. He says, Uncle L, we're going to lose Isaiah. We'll sign OG, who's always hurt. I fear that this year was our best chance at making the Eastern Conference Finals. And like you said, with Julius's injury, we don't have the pieces to go get better next season. All right, first of all, nephew, I believe that the Knicks are going to sign Isaiah Hartenstein. I do. Why would you let him go? Mitchell Robinson is more unavailable than OG Anunoby. I mean, listen, I love Mitch. Mitch is, you saw him in the games. Mitch is one of the best offensive rebounders in the game. But Mitch is not always available. And, you know, the fact that he and his free throws are not making it, that you need to have somebody else. I will be honest with you, Jay Blaze. I would not be surprised if there was, because of how Isaiah Hartenstein has progressed and the fact that Precious Achiuwa, because of his versatility to play the four and the five, I would not be surprised if Mitch's name is not being mentioned in trade rumors in the offseason. I would not be. Not saying that I want to trade him. Not saying that I want to move on from him. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, if you are talking about improving your roster and talking about improving and trying to get better, and you have depth, you've got and because, you know, I could see a scenario that if the price was right and the personnel you wanted was the right person, I could see them involving him in the trade. But but the main point is I don't see them moving on from Isaiah Hartenstein. I think he will be back. I get the rap, and Monica mentioned it a little bit, and it's true. One of the situations with OG was an emergency appendicitis. So, I mean, that was, you know, that's something that you got to, that's not something that happens all the time. Okay, that's an emergency situation. So, you know, I think, yeah, has he had a bad rap with numbers and the amount of availability? Yes. Does he kind of get the reputation much like so a couple of other players in the league, you know, like Kawhi Leonard, that he's only available if he's 95% or better? Possibly. But once again, you know you're going to have him because you didn't give up RJ and Emmanuel quickly to get rid of him. So you're going to sign him. The Randall injury is a concern. There's no question about it. There's no question about it. Because does it limit what you can do with him next season? Does it kind of pressure you almost to bring him back for the first half to prove that he is okay, and then you make a move? I don't know. But for right now, that's a couple of months down the road. Hopefully later than May. Right? I'm hoping not first round. I'm hoping later, middle to late May. That's where I'm hoping that we start to have those discussions. For right now, and for the game tonight, they need to win this game, ladies and gentlemen. This is a game that it's a winnable game. You heard that this Milwaukee team has struggled. Okay? This is a game that the Knicks can win. And the important thing here's the important thing. Get out of the season with no more injuries. If you got to limit OG's time, then limit his time. Okay, then limit it. If you got to limit it to make sure that he's going to be available postseason, then that's what you do. Let him get some rhythm, get into the swing of things, get into NBA, contact again, and then you figure it out. We'll continue the conversation here on 98.7 ESPN.
The Larry Hardesty Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Matter of fact, we got a big day broadcasting-wise on the ESPN family of networks and also on the app. You've got, obviously, as I mentioned, the Knicks and Bucks. You've got the Rangers in the big game against the Canadiens. You've got the Devils and the Predators. You've got a lot of action here on 98.7 ESPN and our family, so make sure you check out those actions, what's happening there. And, of course, we'll keep you updated, Ty will and I will, on the baseball games that's going on. You've got Toronto with a 1-0 lead over the Yankees, but the Yankees are threatening. And you've got a the Mets with a 2-0 lead over Cincinnati, but, you know, that doesn't mean anything. Part of the overreaction of week one of the baseball season, right? For, you know, here's the positivity, I will say. And we started out talking about baseball on the show, and so we'll talk a little baseball here before we leave you. I will say this. Sean Manaea has looked pretty good his last two starts. He pitched very well in his last outing, got no run support. He's pitching well today. He's only given up two hits as he moved to the fourth inning against Cincinnati. So he has been as advertised so far. That's been great. It's really been, you know, the concern about the rotation. To be fair, the starting rotation for the Mets has not been bad. If you had said to me that the starting rotation would have pitched the way they have pitched, I would have said that the Mets would not have won only two games, that they would have been a little better because I expected this team to be able to hit a little bit more than what they've done. The biggest issue for me was the starting rotation and the bullpen. How am I getting to Edwin Diaz? That was my biggest concern. And so that part of it has still been kind of a concern, but not terrible. Yesterday was a concern because I didn't have Edwin Diaz, so I had no way to get to Edwin Diaz. But, you know, once again, it's early, and that's the best part about having the baseball season, because it's long. And so, you know, you really don't know. You don't know what your team has and what your team really is. For me, until mid-May, going into early June. And you're like, Larry, but that's a quarter of the season is done by then. Yeah, I know. But that's really when you find your identity of what your team is going to be, of what possibility is going on with your team. Okay? You're looking at this Yankee team right now, you're like, my God, the starting rotation, it's an issue. Okay, by mid-May, early June, you've got an ace back. You got a Cy Young Award winner back in your rotation. And so if you can continue to play at the rate you are playing, okay, and I know you're not going to win six out of every seven games, but if you're able to win series and continue to be competitive and score runs and help your bullpen out. I'm sorry, I just saw a replay of the pitch to Anthony Rizzo. I'm sorry, Tom. It almost bounced in the dirt.
I'm trying to forget it.
It was a strike. If you can hold on to get and be good until you get Gerrit Cole back, what does that do for your team? Plus, you know, he's going to be strong late. So it's for me, you just have to wait and be patient and see just how your team is going to be. Middle of May, another month from now, going into the end of May, Memorial Day, that's when you really can get an idea of what your team looks like. And I've covered Yankees team. There was a Yankee team, I can't think of the year, that it was either the next to last or the second to last of when Joe Torre was ending his management and the Yankees hired Joe Girardi. And this was a team that struggled in the first half, and they had to, you might remember this, Tom, and they had to win like every game almost in the second half to get to the postseason. A-Rod, they had to win almost every game in the second half. I mean, everybody was playing. Listen, you talk about Tom Thibodeau. Joe Torre wasn't exactly resting players either. So, I mean, Robinson Cano probably played like 160 games, it seemed like every year. And they found a way to get into the postseason. And they were like struggling by the All-Star break. But at the second half, they were rolling. That's what baseball does. And to be honest, that's what Rob Manfred, the commissioner, wants to do. That's why they have all these wild cards. Because you can have a slow start, but you can get hot late and find your way into postseason. No team is out of it. Well, some teams are out of it. But just about most teams are not out of it. You have an opportunity. If you can string some wins together late, you've got an opportunity where you can, you know, get into the postseason. So that's what you want. Like me, like I want Francisco Lindor, who hit a home run now, to get going. And maybe this is a breakout, you know, time. And I don't know, I'm one of the calls, it might have been Spike, who mentioned it early. There is a difference in getting close and getting loose and being able to hit and getting accustomed to the weather and all this. I mean, I remember covering a Yankee game, Chantel and Tom, where I'm watching A-Rod playing third, and there's a pop-up, and he's got his glove on his left hand and his right hand in his pocket before the ball gets hit because he's freezing, and they got the mask and stuff on. So it is a difference. There's no question. It is a difference in the weather. And for the batters, you know, you talk to guys. Colder weather, that ball hits that bat, the sting that goes in your hands, ooh, it's vicious. It's vicious. So there is a difference. So, you know, we'll see what happens. As far as the Yankees are concerned, though, as they tied the game on the bases loaded walk a couple of minutes ago, this is, you know, they've been able to win despite not hitting. I mean, up until the home run barrage you had a couple of nights ago where Judge hit a home run and Stan hit one that was still going and got two more hits, was hit three hits in the game. They really hadn't been hitting, and Rizzo hits a home run. They really hadn't been hitting consistently. It's been one guy here, one guy there. But if the Yankees can put, and look, everybody's not going to hit every night. We get it. But if they can, that lineup, the way it is, if they produce, that's a lineup that could put some runs on the board. And if you're a Yankee fan, that's something you haven't been able to say a lot of over the past couple of seasons, that you've got a representative lineup that people can't afford to pitch around Aaron Judge. That, you know, with Soto and Rizzo and Giancarlo and, you know, Gleyber Torres, if he hits like he did last year, you've got a lineup where you got to face Judge. And that's something that, if you're a Yankee fan, that gives you something to look forward to. Yeah, you got issues about pitching. Yeah, you got issues about the bullpen. It hurts Nolan Weisiger for the year. I got it. But at least defensively, you're better. And offensively, you're better. And listen. Uh-oh. You know what that means? Somebody has gone yard.
Giancarlo Stanton, grand slam.
And it is still going. There it is. Boy, I'm telling you, he looks pretty good right now, Tom. I think he's on that hot streak. He looks pretty good. Boy, what a difference. What a difference. If he can hit, what a difference that offense makes. We'll continue the conversation right here on 98.7 ESPN. If you-